Blog Talk Radio.
They're coming to get you, Barbara.
Of my thumb, something wicked this way comes. That's right, not only is it Halloween, it's the Gore Girl Variety Hour, which is the wickedness coming into your pure black heart. Hello, everybody. My God, this is a special show tonight. We have so many things happening, it's insane. I'm going to be talking a mile a minute. You better be jazzed up. I don't know what's going on. I'm completely brain dead. It's been a crazy month. October rocked. We have had four shows, one of which is official lost episode. But we'll talk about that in a minute. My God, guys, we've got Halloween Friday, insane. We've got just all sorts of good stuff. And the official announcement. Yes, the official thing. This is the last Sunday broadcast of the Gore Girl Variety Hour. Are we disbanding forever? Hell no. We are joining with HorrorMovieFans.com and their awesome lineup of shows. They've added us to their roster, and we are now Wednesdays at 7 p.m. Our first Wednesday show will be November 5th. So the first Wednesday of November, keep in mind, 7 p.m. I'll throw all the stuff on MySpace. Check out Ghostman Demon Hunter next week. I'll give you all the info of where you can listen to us. But this is our last Sunday broadcast, guys. So be sure to make the flip over to Wednesdays. We'll still be available for download on your iTunes, still be available in the archives. It'll just be a different blog talk, all right? And we have the website coming up soon. So I'm going to hit you with all sorts of good stuff. We're going to leave our blog talk page up for a little bit, and I'll give you the info how to go to theirs. So good times. We're joining a new radio lineup of many great shows, and we want to thank those guys again for, thinking that we're brilliant like we are and bringing us on their roster. So good times. But, oh, my God. So Halloween's this week, guys, and just insane. I'm nuts. This whole month has been crazy. You know, we've been counting down. We had lots of great shows for you. I wish you guys could have heard last week's show. My God, apparently we did a whole show last Monday night. It was a special broadcast, 9 p.m. We had Tony Moran, the original Michael Myers, on. Right before we brought him on, Blog Talk had a massive site-wide meltdown. Everybody that did their show at that time or after that lost their show for good. So we brought Tony on. All of our systems said we were go. We thought everything was going well. We had a little trouble with our commercial, which we thought was odd. So we just said, oh, screw it. Let's go right into the guest. So we brought Tony on. We had an awesome, awesome half-hour conversation with him. If you guys would have heard it, you would have freaked out at how great it was. But unfortunately, after the show was over, we went back to make sure everything was fine in the archive, and we only had 27 minutes of a show. So we were pissed off. I wanted to kill people and slam things into it because here we had this awesome freaking interview. It was probably the best interview we've had on this show. And it figures. It was Murphy's Law, man. It figures. It cut us out. So we lost 33 minutes of our show. The 27 minutes that we did are still up there if you guys want to hear us. But really, the Tony Moran stuff's gone. But don't worry, guys. because Tony's a friend of the GG Hour, and we will have him on before the year is out. So we'll, you know, ask a couple different questions, whatever, because I'm sure he doesn't want to talk about the same stuff he did last time. But we'll ask a few new questions, ask a few old questions, and you'll still get your Tony Moran fix. It will just be after Halloween itself. But don't worry, because we're going to keep it within this year, so you could still get your 30th anniversary of Halloween Meltdown. That's right, guys, 30 years ago, not today, but 30 years ago, Mr. John Carpenter gave us that beautiful masterpiece, which is the definitive movie for this season. So thank you, Mr. John Carpenter. I'm rambling, so let's just say that this is the October 26th edition of the GG Hour, which is the last Sunday broadcast. And sitting to my right, as always, the one, the only, Techie Ed. What's up, Techie Ed?
How's it going, boys and ghouls?
And so how did you feel about last week's show?
I feel it was the greatest three-way conversation we have ever had.
It was the greatest three-way phone call we've ever had, because apparently nobody in the galaxy heard. There was a couple people, our producers heard it, because they were in the studio with us, of course. A couple other people that were in the studio observing had actually heard the conversation. But as far as the rest of everybody that tried to pick up an archive, I'm sorry, you missed the, you missed it. So it is now going to be known as the lost episode of the GG Hour. We may reference it many times in the future. You'll never know. But it was a great conversation. My God. Tony was talking about, you know, his sister's Erin Moran, who was from Happy Days. You know, she was Joni. You know, Joni Loves Chachi, all that stuff. He was talking about how he absolutely – I'm just going to basically tell him what the conversation was. He said that way we're all on page one when it's time to go to the second interview. But pretty much he was telling us all about the history of how he got on Halloween. You know, he and his sister were in a bunch of commercials. He got out of it. He wanted to be a kid, play sports, yada, yada. His sister obviously went on, stuck with the agent, and got Happy Days and you know, history. But he got out of it, decided when he was about 21 he wanted to get back into it. His sister kept the same agent, and the agent was always like, come on, get back into it. You're great. So he got back into it, and the first thing he landed, I guess the industry was slow at that time, and the agent said, you know, this is what we got. We got this, B-movie horror flick that's shooting. They need somebody. It's a bit part. But it'll be great. Jamie Lee Curtis is in it. And Tony's like, well, who's that? Because, you know, it's just Jamie's first film. And, you know, oh, daughter, Tony Curtis and Janet Lee. And Tony's like, who cares? You know? And then I said, oh, Donald Pleasance is in it. And that kind of stunk it for Tony. He loves Donald. So he said, yeah, let's do it. And he said, well, why not? You know, he's got to get his foot in the door. So let's do it. So they go, and he goes in the auditions with Erwin LeBond and John Carpenter, and there was no mask in the room, apparently, and kind of just did it, talked to him, hit a thing, and then shows up on set, and he's kind of like, yeah, I don't want to be here. This sucks. Because, you know, horror movies back in the day weren't really something that everybody was proud to be on. They were kind of like a second-class citizen, so to speak. So, you know, he was kind of like, all right, let's get this thing over with. And he was surprised at how passionate everybody was on set and how serious and hardworking they were. And came on, did his stuff, and he found out then he had to wear a mask. And he's like, well, what the hell? You know, I come back into acting, I got to wear a mask. What is this? So wears a mask, and his scenes are actually from the point where he chokes Jamie up till all the way to the end of the movie. The only thing he didn't do was that fall off the balcony. That was a stuntman. So there's about four or five guys that played Michael Myers in the first movie. And, of course, Miss, Deborah Hill put the costume on herself for some second camera shooting. But, yeah, so good stuff. He's telling us about that, telling us how he had no idea that Halloween was big. He's not into horror movies, not really a movie guy in general. If it's good, he'll watch it, whatever. He's kind of like, Tony Moran is awesome. He is such an engaging guest. He's kind of like, I want to call him the blue-collar horror man. He's the blue-collar horror guy. I just love this guy. He was so laid back, so casual. I wish you guys could have heard it. He was funny. He's just an engaging guy and you know, just totally down to earth. And he'll tell you like it is. And that's what we need more of course. But I love Tony to death. It was a great interview. Too bad you guys didn't hear it. But So then he started talking and talking about how, you know, only 3 years ago, he found out 3 years ago, guys, that Halloween was big. He had known they made a bunch of sequels, but he figured it was just a bunch of crap to make money. He didn't, you know, really pay no attention to it. He got invited to the premiere of Halloween when it came out and declined because he's like, what the hell do I care, you know? So all this stuff goes on. And 3 years ago, one of his best buddies gets in touch with him and says, dude, there's this guy who's been looking for you for like 10 years. Of course, when a horror star goes underground, you can't find him. You know, if they don't want to be found, they're not going to be found. So he's like, what? Okay. And they arranged an interview. So the guy's all excited and interviews Tony. And he says, hey, I got some stuff downstairs. Can you autograph it for me? And Tony's like, all right. So he's like, why does this guy want my autograph? You know, I wore a mask for, you know, a couple scenes in this movie. I don't get it. So goes down there, signs some stuff, and the guy goes, oh, my God, do you even know how big Halloween is? He's like, no. So the guy totally tells him, oh, my God, Halloween's like this horror masterpiece. It's classic. You know, it's definitive. And Tony's like, really? What? And then the guy goes, you should start doing horror conventions. And he's like, what's a horror convention? And the guy's like, oh, my God. So he tells him how these stars go, and they sign autographs. And, you know, it's a whole big thing. It's a family thing. So he gets involved in these things. And he said that the first one, I can't even go into it. I'll have him, you know, retell some of it. But just telling us stories about his early days, like, is this really how a horror convention is? You know, gets into it. So now he's doing horror cons. He's doing like 30, 40 appearances a year. The man's a busy guy, and, you know, he's got an agent or a booking, you know, agent and whatever, and just getting him all sorts of appearances. And then I asked him, so what's the strangest fan story you got? And he was telling me how he's at this club. He's shooting this new movie, Beg, which, by the way, I can't wait to see. We're going to bring him on because I want him to talk more about that. It's going to have, like, Tony Todd in it. They're trying to get Michael Berryman in it. God, I can't remember everybody he said that was going on. Tiffany Shepis is in it. All sorts of crazy people. And, of course, Tony's in it, and he plays this cop, this washed-up cop trying to find the serial killer. He didn't go into too much detail, so you didn't miss any exclusive updates, but we are bringing him on to talk about it, so we'll get more in-depth on that. It's called Beg. So he's on set shooting this thing, and they all go out to this local bar. It was packed on, like, a Saturday night. Bouncer comes up and says, this girl wants you to sign her ass. And Tony's like, what? All right, where is this girl? Totally thought it was a joke. Well, then eventually, for like three or four more times of this, goes to the office, and there's a bunch of waitresses in there. It was a waitress that wanted him to sign it. So then the bouncers are in there, and Tony's like, you know, get out of here, man. You know, I don't want a bunch of guys standing around. This is awkward as it is. Yeah, I'm sure it was real awkward to have some girl drop her pants, but whatever. So, you know, they leave, and he goes, and he's like, well, do you want me to personalize it, or you just want my name, you know? And she goes, no, personalize it. So, you know, he does the whole thing, and he noticed that her ass cheeks were really red, and he's like, dude, what happened to you? And she's like, oh, too long in the tanning bed, and blah, blah, blah. And he's like, oh, okay. Then he finds out, like, a little bit later that she had some severe rash, and he just, like, was all over her ass, and I'm like, oh, sorry, Tony. So I made, you know, of course, a couple jokes about the dropping of the pants, but, I mean, just awesome, awesome conversation. He is a great guy, absolutely engaging. I am so pissed that Blog Talk lost it. So thank you to the screw-up Blog Talk, but whatever. I ain't going to worry about it. The show must go on. And like I said, it's not like we'll never have him on again, so we'll bring him on. And you guys can hear him, hopefully. It might be a Tony Moran virus. They might never let us have, you know, Tony audio. So we'll bring him on again. It'll be good times. But I'll keep you guys updated on that. We're in the works right now, guys, of getting some really cool guests on for the next coming months. So keep your eyes peeled. Of course, you're going to listen to the show every Wednesday from now on because, gee, what else would you do? But, no, we're going to have some really cool people on, so stay tuned. Anyway, getting on into this. I got to say one thing real fast. We talked about Tony Moran, the Switch to Horror Movie fans. October 25th, which was yesterday, was apparently National Zombie Day. So there were zombie walks happening all over the place. This is like the new thing, is there's zombie walks everywhere, whatever. So I don't know. They had their whole zombie thing. That was cool, whatnot. But, God, guys, I'm just so jazzed. This is an interesting show because I'm psyched about Halloween. I just went on Ghostman Demon Hunter and just totally raved about horror movies. And I'm going to rave a little bit for you guys because why not? You know, you need to be entertained. It's good times. And it's our last show on Sunday, guys. This is like a milestone here. We started this thing. They built it up. You know, you guys have been hanging out with us. You're part of the family. We've been going through glitches and learning how to run the stuff. You know, you guys have been going through the growing pains right along with us. You know, we're still working on getting music for our segments. We're going to start bringing back our segments. You guys, you know, you missed those. We've gotten letters and, you know, people saying, hey, are you going to bring back Herb of the Week? Are you going to bring back, you know, Classic Movie Corner? So we're working on audio segments for those. Good stuff, guys. Lots of good stuff. I'm excited. I'm really excited. So anyway, I'm jazzed. But it's bittersweet, you know? This is like our last show on Sundays. Like, I almost want to cry. Like, I mean, it's not like the last show ever. I'd be like hysterical. I'd be like passed out on, you know, Valium or something. But, no, this is the last show on Sunday. We started this thing on Sundays. This was our thing. You know, we rearranged everything. You know, it was always Sundays. We're pumped about Sundays. You know, we were part of the trifecta of paranormal radio on Sunday night shows. Ghostly Talk, Ghost Meet Demon Hunter, us. And here we are. We're moving on, you know, obviously to better things, you know, moving on up like the Jeffersons. But, yeah, this is it for Sundays. Well, who knows? In the future, we may have, you know, we're talking, they're already in the works about adding, you know, 3 or 4 shows a week. So we may be doing this as a full-time gig, guys. But, you know, who knows? We may attack Sundays again. You're not definitely not going to see the last of Gore Girl on Sundays. We're going to find something to do on Sundays. But as far as this, we're moving to Wednesdays. So I don't know. It's kind of bittersweet, isn't it? So I'm thinking, there's just something in my head. It's kind of like, I'm tearing up here, guys, but don't you feel like the GG Hour, we're a family, right?
Yeah.
I feel like we're, you know, this is something. This is a culmination. We should commemorate this. Oh, my God, I'm totally sending this to you telepathically. Are you getting what I'm getting? Do you hear that?
I do. What is that? What is it?
Making your way in the world today takes everything you've got. Taking a break from all your worries sure would help a lot. Wouldn't you like to get away? Sometimes you wanna go where everybody knows your name, and they're always glad you came.
Oh my God! Oh my God! That totally moved in my head. It just came out. Wow! Wow! There was some psychic power there. The Gore Girl Variety Hour is really, we are like everybody's drunken, I don't know, drunken mailmen sitting on a bar stool. That's what we represent, America. We're a bunch of drunks sitting on a bar stool, and we enjoy being that for you guys every week. I hope you enjoyed that, because that's like the perfect culmination. Like, here we go, guys. I'm getting like all these like Laverne and Shirley and Mary Tyler Moore. Got doing it our way. Give us any rule, we'll break it. Oh, my God. We're not going back into like singing, because everyone was like, oh, Dom DeLuise was enough, Gore Girl. We barely got through that one alive. Oh, my God. So what do we got? We got 40 minutes. We've only lost 28 minutes. Not that they're a loss, but I'm just saying. It feels like a loss to us because we want to talk forever, you know? Well, actually, Techie Ed does more of the, like, trying to edit me and trying to, like, jab me. Like, don't say this. Okay, say this. All right. And then he's like, you know, arms and beer. I don't know. So basically what you guys don't realize is Techie Ed actually doesn't hear me talk. He actually has we actually do the show like 3 times during the week and rehearse it, so he knows where the cues are. And then what happens is he's got little things on, and he's actually listening to music right now. He has no idea what I'm talking about. And then we have somebody over here with a pool stick that actually cues him to like respond to me. So he knows the response. No, we don't do a show like that, guys. But it'd be cool.
That would be cool.
It'd be cool if we did. But no, we don't. He actually has to sit through me talking as long as you guys do.
Yes, I cannot bear it.
He's horrified. Oh, my God. So, well, actually, I don't think you will be listening for, like, 4 shows, right?
Yeah, it's about that.
Oh, my God. Techie Ed's got some a pre-existing arrangement, and we're switching over to Wednesdays at 7. Well, his arrangement doesn't end till December, so we're going to be without Techie Ed for, like, 4 shows, guys. But we're going to have a fill-in. It'll be fine. You guys may go even more insane because this fill-in probably will talk as much as I do. But what will be cool is I'll throw in things because this person that's coming on and Techie Yed have sort of a married couple sort of banter about like Wiccan rituals and all sorts of things. So when I bring this person on, I'm going to like tease and be like, do you know what the techie Ed says? And just listen for 5 minutes as this rant goes off. So you'll have two ranting, you know, people on the show. I don't know. It may not even be my show for four shows. I'll be like, I have no idea what's going on anymore. So we'll see. That's the person that we have lined up. I'm not sure if that's going to pan out. We're working that out right now, the details. It may be somebody else. Who knows? Maybe the garbage man down the street. I really don't know who's going to be this guy filling for Techie Ed right now. Our producers don't care. They're not paying. They don't give a shit.
They just conjure stuff with zombie and everything.
Yes. It'll be the undead that are running my technician stuff. It'll be great. It'll be a good time. But, oh my God, guys, I'm so excited. I don't even know. I'm like, we got 10 minutes. Really before commercial break, do I want to get into it? Ah, we could push commercial break back. Unless we want to do commercial break early. I don't know. What do you think?
It's your show. You do whatever you want.
The producers are like, we have a time set. Do not go past our time. I don't care what you talk about. Just don't talk past our time. Oh, my God. You know what? We're just going to – let's do the commercial now. So that, because we've got tons to talk about, guys, and we really want to get you excited. We want to get you in the Halloween spirit. So let's start off with our commercial, and then I guarantee you guys are going to be jazzed when we come back. Because when we come back, I'm going to do a Halloween horror roundup. Totally stay tuned, guys.
And now a word from our sponsors.
How'd you do, I? You've met my faithful handyman. He's just a little brought down because when you knocked, he thought you were the candy man. Don't get strung out by the way I look. Don't judge a book by its cover. I'm not much of a man by the light of day, but by night I'm one hell of a lover. I'm just a sweet transvestite, I'm transsexual, Transylvania. Let me show you a ride, and maybe play you a sign. You look like you're both pretty groovy. Or if you want something visual that's not too abysmal, we could take in an old Steve Reeves movie.
I'm glad we caught you at home. Could we use your phone? We're both in a bit of a hurry.
Right.
We'll just say where we are, then go back to the car. We don't want to be any worry.
Well, you got caught with a flat wheel. How about that? Well, babies, don't you panic. By the light of the night, it'll all seem all right. I'll get you a satanic mechanic. I'm just a sweet transvestite. From transsexual Transylvania.
Oh my God, that was great. That was incredible. I'm all jazzed up now. You know, I was sitting here stroking the mic thinking about Sweet Transvestites. That's the best part of Halloween. Dom DeLuise and drag, Haunted Honeymoon, Sweet Transvestites. I don't know. Where does it end, guys? Where does it end? When I was on Ghostman Demon Hunter earlier, I was talking about horror movies that people need to see because we're in the mood, man. We've done four shows getting you prepared for Halloween. The, you know, like I was talking about the pumpkin spices and the scent of fall and feeling the leaves and the wind and haunted houses and trick-or-treating and pumpkins. And we did customs and traditions and soul cakes and ale. And I don't even know what else we were talking about, whatever. You know, Halloween and this and that. But my God, guys, we have to talk about the coolest thing to do during Halloween. It's a time, you know, people nowadays have taken it, and like we said on the Halloween custom show, they've taken it and made it a little bit scarier, a little bit creepier, a little bit more darker meaning, darker tradition. That's fine, whatever, because it gives us an excuse to celebrate horror movies. That's right, guys. They don't call me Gore Girl for nothing, and we're just going to jump right into this. We're going to get a face full of horror. Not horror. That's what you did last night. You're going to get a face full of horror, guys. Oh, my God. So let's talk about what you should be seeing this Halloween. Let's talk about some of the classics. Let's talk about some of the movies that you should see. Let's just talk about movies that maybe you haven't seen in a while. Maybe it'll get you inspired to watch something. I don't know. Let's do it, guys. Let's see what happens. Oh, my God. First of all, like I said, I'm sorry if my list is similar to Ghostman Demon Hunter because, well, guys, there's just some stuff that you need to watch. So, come on, guys. What about Arachnophobia, huh? Arachnophobia in 1990? John Goodman? Yes? Yes? That's what I'm saying? That's what I'm saying? You know, good stuff like that. I just have to mention this. I want to get this out of the way. I said this on Ghostman Demon Hunter, but this is a shout-out to my sister, who's born on Halloween, by the way, and we're throwing a massive Halloween bash for her this Friday. It's going to be awesome. It's going to be insane. We're doing tarot readings and bonfires and food and live bands and, oh, my God, it's going to be nuts. Games, bobbing for apples, all sorts of crazy, you know, catch the severed head on a spear, all sorts of good stuff that, you know, we usually play. But I have to mention this for her. This is why I always said this first, because this is for her. And she's a Halloween baby, so we got to give her some sort of shout-out. I don't know. I guess if I want more severed heads on spears, I got to mention it. But my sister has extreme arachnophobia, okay? And I'm not talking about, like, oh, I don't like spiders. No, my sister will seriously be paralyzed with fear. Like, she seriously – I there was one time that I was sitting on the porch, and there was a huge black spider on a web. And my sister was getting in her car with my other sister, and they were going somewhere. It was summer, so they had their windows down. And I went over with a rolled up paper like I was going to take the spider off on the paper. So I never touched the spider, never got near it. But from my sister's point of view, it looked like I was getting the spider on the paper. And I was like, you know, kind of corralling it, making it look like I had the spider on the edge of the newspaper. And I ran towards her car. So the car's in reverse. She's getting ready to plow the driveway, right? She's at a slant as it is where how she parked in the driveway. So I come running up. She goes, "Sabrina, Sabrina, no, no, no!" And I threw the paper in her lap in the car. But in her mind, she thought the spider was attached. She screamed so loud. All you saw was hair flying everywhere. And she's just freaking out, and she's screaming, and her hands are going 240. And she's like, "Aah!" My other sister's screaming because the car is going in reverse. She had let her foot off the brake. They are flying backwards, and there's, like, fire hydrants, poles. There's, like, some, I don't know, Catholic schoolgirls, whatever. There's, you know, a nun or something helping a kitten get out of the tree. And she's, like, reversing towards these things. And I'm like, "Oh, crap." I'm like, "Brake, brake, put on the brake. There's no spider." I'm like, "My sisters are going to die. It's going to be my fault." And then that's it. My, you know, Mother Gore will never, ever, you know, let me live it down. She'll be like, "Remember that one time you killed your sisters? For God's sake, when are you going to, oh, God. You need to stop it. Now I got to take them out the fridge every holiday. This is a kid convenience for me." Yes, that's what Mother Gore sounds like. So, you know, because she's Mother Gore now, like a sage. "Mother Gore! Mother Gore! Please tell us the news, Mother Gore! What's happening? What's happening in the world of horror?" So, anyway, it was hysterical. So I have to mention that and have to tell that story because it's a good Halloween story, right? Everyone's sharing good Halloween stories. So we're going to get off that. But, oh, my God, guys, let's start off early. We'll just go through it. And I apologize right now if I don't mention one of your favorite horror movies because, guys, we've got a limited amount of time. And you know how many freaking horror movies there are out there and how many great ones I love? We just don't have time. There's just not enough time at all. So, and Techie Yed has a special segment for you guys. So, I mean, there's just not enough. We just got to go. So if I miss something, I'm sorry. But you know what? I don't give a shit. Let's go. And it's my last show, so apparently I can say that on air. But anyway, okay, let's start off early. Okay, yes, we all know the Gollum, guys. Awesome, awesome movie, traditional horror at its core. These are the roots, baby. We've got, you know, witchcraft through the ages. What a macabre film. It still is just absolutely disturbing to this day. And, I mean, it's great. It's a cinematic achievement, and I absolutely love it. But look at what you got after that. You know, horror came over from Europe. You know, we started to modernize it. We started to put our piece of Americana in it. So what did we get? We've got Todd Browning's Dracula, guys, the ultimate. Bela Lugosi, the way they shine light in his eyes. I mean, just the gothic atmosphere, the way they took the novel and just completely transformed it into their own version. What an amazing movie. Frankenstein, you know, you had Creature from the Black Lagoon. You had, you know, Reigns. You had Lanchester. You had Chaney. You had Chaney Jr. My God, come on, guys. This is incredible stuff. These were brilliant people. These are what horror is based on. These are our forefathers. If horror was a country, These would be our 1776 forefathers, guys. These are the people that we turn to in times of terror, in times of trouble, in times of crappy horror remakes. These are the people that we turn to for guidance. These are our constitutional fathers. So I got to say, hell yeah about that. But seriously, I mean, look at what they did. And I have said this from day one. I say this all the time. You know, just dissecting horror movies and going through and critiquing them and philosophizing about them and all sorts of things. I say this from day one. What you don't see is far scarier than what you do see. And that's all they had back then, guys. I mean, they had whatever, they had brilliant stories. They had well-written, well-fleshed-out things, which God knows we have no idea what that means today. So just absolutely well done, well thought out, well costumed, well, you know, well dressed sets, for God's sakes. I mean, look at couches back then. They paid attention to which way the ruffles went. It was insane. But look at what happened, guys. They didn't have the technology. They didn't have the CGI. They didn't have all the crap that we have today to show us our monsters, to give us our terror, to give us our creeps at night. They had your imagination. And like I said, what you don't see is far scarier than what you do see. It worked. It is effective. These are some of the creepiest films today. I don't care. I mean, we're in a generation now where people watch movies brainless. And, I mean, they want to see big boobs. They want to see explosions. Great. Go watch that. But you know what? These are still creepy. These are still effective because these attack our subconscious. These are what's going on, what's bubbling behind our little brows right here. So I just got to say, guys, Universal. And, yeah, Europe, the European horror, the German horror that had come out, Nosferatu, you know. I mean, all this stuff. You know, I absolutely love Cabinet of Dr. Caligari, by the way. I just thought I'd throw that in there right there. But one of the most crazy films. And, you know, here we had all this German horror. Here we had all this, you know, early horror from Europe. This is where America, you know, sopped it off. And I understand a lot of people are kind of like, you know, you get these purists like, well, you know, we did Americanize horror. Yes, but look at what we did. Look at what we created. Look at the path and the impact with which we had. It's amazing. And I still think so today. So rest in peace to those that have passed from horror history. We love you guys. But, oh, my God, just insane. And then, you know, moving on, we started to get into more times. I mean, look at the social climate of our world. Look at how much it changed. Look at how much movies have changed. Todd Browning's Freaks is still one of the best movies ever made. I don't care. It's just, you know, these are movies that were slow-paced. There was no gore. It was just a slow buildup. It was psychological terror, and that's what we love, guys. So here you're going into this. Then you've got the freaking 1950s movies, guys, 1940s into 1950s. You had the 1950s driving classics, Wasp Woman, you know, Attack of the Killer Shrews, you know, Attack of the Giant Leeches, Werewolf in a Girl's Dormitory, Brain That Wouldn't Die. Oh, my God, need I go on? Insane, guys. This is the stuff that the kids used to go to the drive-in with their leather jackets, you know, and their little poodle skirts and watch. This was classic. This was great. This is the stuff that we love today. Then you had awesome stuff like William Castle's The Tingler. Come on, shock, oh, cinema. Awesome, awesome stuff. Rigging the seats to buzz during the movie. I mean, look at House on Haunted Hill. He rigged ghosts to fly through the theater. Awesome. This is the stuff that we need today. This is the passion. This is the in-your-face, gutsy stuff of filmmaking. I mean, who cares? You know, it was gimmicks. It was, yeah, some of it was schlock. Some of it was, you know, kitsch. But, guys, that's what we love. That's what keeps us coming back to this genre. Yes, we love our serious horror. Yes, we love our psychological horror. But, my God, it's showmanship, guys. It's passion. It's about the passion. Who cares how you express it as long as it comes through? That's what I'm saying about that. I mean, my God, and I, again, apologize. There's so many movies. I know. I mean, I go through my collection, and I'm just like, oh, yes, and yes, and yes. But I cannot, obviously, we don't have that much time for me to go through them all. And Techie Ed's like, wow, she's insane right now. But, oh, my God, just absolute stuff. The Innocence. I mean, based on Turn of the Screw. I mean, that's gothic atmosphere, guys. Love it. Good stuff. I mean, now look what we're getting into, okay? One of my absolute favorite movies of all time, the granddaddy of horror films, 1960s Psycho. Please, Hitchcock is a genius, guys. I talked about this on the last show, on the lost episode a little bit, but Psycho's a classic. It's the granddaddy of all horror films. It was an experiment. I could write a freaking thesis paper on this, and just it's never ending how you could dissect this movie. awesome, amazing. Look at every achievement, every cinematic thing that Hitchcock broke when he did that movie. I mean, he created shots, he created techniques. You know, he redefined terror. It went beyond the silver screen. He invented, you know, gimmicks and things to do to lure the audience to the theater. I mean, the whole nobody can come into the theater after 8 minutes after the movie started. Killing off the lead actress. I mean, just it abounds what he's done. I mean, check out his Notebook. Hitchcock has, I can't remember who wrote them or as far as published them or whatever, but Hitchcock's a genius. The man is understated, and to be overlooked for so many years in horror by, you know, all these pompadour, you know, academies and awards, they never once recognized Hitchcock. Screw you guys, because that is pure brilliance. That is right up there with, you know, Houston and Ford and, you know, God, everybody. Come on. Seriously, Hitchcock is a genius. So he's one of my favorite guys. But Psycho, I mean, it even broke things that you didn't even think about. Minute details, like the first toilet working properly in a movie. Hitchcock broke that. He wasn't trying to be like, I think we should show the first toilet working in the history of movies. He didn't think about that. You know, he just did it. And just serendipity, guys, broke this stuff. It's amazing. It is amazing. So you go into 60s. What do you got? You got Rosemary's Baby by Polanski. Oh, my God, guys, Rosemary's Baby, seriously. I mean, the ultimate definitive Antichrist on Earth movie. The you know, one of the four starters of, like, things like The Exorcist, dealing with Satan, dealing with satanic activity, dealing with cults. I mean, we've had references to it, especially Witchcraft Through the Ages. My God, that movie's just visceral, mind-blowing. You need to see it. But, you know, you've had this. This is the pre-runner, guys. Polanski just was twisted, and he just did it so excellent. I mean, he just adapted that movie so well. And, of course, I said this earlier tonight. I'm going to say it again until it gets in your brain and stirs like a thick froth. Freaking Polanski's Fearless Vampire Killers is one of my favorite movies of all time. It is so underrated compared to Rosemary's Baby. And, I mean, it's a shame because it's, oh, God, it's an incredible film. The humor and the wit behind that, I mean, you know, that's great. Some of it is campy, some of it's kitschy, and some of it is intellectual humor like Frasier. It's just, my God, guys, I don't even know what to say. Fearless Vampire Killers, starring, of course, the late, great Sharon Tate, good stuff. Seriously, you know, you get into all this. God, look at all the stuff that came out in the 60s. You know, Peeping Tom, just all these incredible horror films. You know, we're in a new revolution. We were in a cusp in our world. We were changing. Things were happening. You know, people were fired up. You had revolutions. You had people calling out on injustices in the world. I mean, this was a time of revolution, and we're starting to see that in our horror films. Horror films, yes, obviously, just like most films, reflect the change of society. They reflect the change in culture and climate of everything that we're doing. And it's awesome to see, if you go through horror history, even if you just go through the main points, to see what happened. Wow. It's like I don't even know. I was going to say Stonewall, but that's kind of a really insane reference to what I'm saying. Okay, whatever. But it popped in my head, so I guess I went with it. My God, just mind-blowing to think about. So you start getting into my favorite decades, the 70s and the 80s, because why? They were kitschy. They were campy. They were crazy. It's nuts stuff, guys. We loved it. I mean, I can't even get over it. And just absolute insanity. And, of course, the film that got me into filmmaking, The Exorcist, came out in the 70s. That is, like, the ultimate, you know, philosophy, or there's the ultimate good versus evil. That's the ultimate getting inside you, facing your fears, bringing forth what people do not dare to look at, the things that people don't dare to look at right in front of them. I mean, serial killer movies, insane. Of course, it was a time when independent films were starting to shine. So you had, like, Texas Chainsaw Massacre, a film that I call the most serendipitous film of all time. But seriously, they accidentally stumbled upon all these great moves. You know, you hear stories like, you know, Toby Hooper, oh God, that was a great scene where you guys did this camera shot and you were panning, you know, you were tracking to the right and then you stopped suddenly. That was so, oh my God, commendable. It did this and it told me this and it changed my life and I bought a Kmart and blah, blah, blah. And it was great. But what people don't realize is that the reason that he stopped short was because he ran out of track for the camera. it wasn't supposed to, the dolly shot was supposed to be longer, but he ran out of track. It was serendipity, guys, and that's beautiful. That's beautiful. So it just came together seamlessly. I mean, of course, I'm going to throw it in there. You have 1978 Halloween, the quintessential Halloween movie, good times. Jamie Lee Curtis, I mean, look at that. It was based off of Psycho. Dr. Loomis, based off of Marion Crane's boyfriend in Psycho, Sam Loomis. Come on, guys. Good stuff. Jamie Lee Curtis is freaking Janet Leigh's daughter. John Carpenter about hit the jackpot on that, guys. So it's just insane. And then, of course, I'm going to say it, Halloween H2O. I don't care all these purists out there. I loved H2O because it brought Janet Leigh onto the screen inside the whole Halloween franchise, and it brought Jamie Lee back. I didn't care. They could have taken Michael Myers out. They could have not even had it. They could have just sat Janet Leigh and Jamie Lee Curtis in the chair, and I'd have been like, oh, my God, this is the best horror movie ever made. I love it. I mean, the scene to me that basically Halloween H2O, okay, you're bringing back 1978 Halloween. We get it. But the thing to me that sewed that movie up was when Janet Leigh stood in the frame with the backdrop being the original car she drove in Psycho. Oh, my God. I pissed my pants in the theater. I was so excited. I mean, things were happening. I don't even know. People next to me got wet. It was insane. That's all I'm saying is it was insane. And those people don't ever go see movies with me again. But, you know, whatever. It's a warning. It's a fair warning. I'm like Gallagher when I go to the movies. I seriously am. You sit any in it, like a couple rows away from me, you're going to get stuff on you. I'm just telling you right now, I'm like Gallagher. So bring, you know, the rain nets and the umbrellas and all sorts of stuff like that. But, I mean, just look at everything. The 70s were awesome. I mean, all decades of horror were amazing. But, you know, I love the 70s and 80s because they introduced the affinitive, what we know today as camp. Oh, my God. I mean, just insane. You know, you had, obviously, the big ones, Nightmare on Elm Street, Friday the 13th, blah, blah, blah. You know, obviously, you know, we love to see the sequels because of these horror franchise giants because they're silly. They're campy. There's a high blood count. Who cares? We love it. It's crazy. It's Halloween. Watch as much blood as you want. Watch severed body parts fly. I don't know. I see that 365 days a year. I don't need Halloween, but it's still good times, guys. That is still good times. So I don't know. It was just insane. And I'm not going by decade anymore. I'm just going to randomly shout things out to you because you guys need to remember this is awesome. This is Halloween, guys. This is the time to watch this stuff. This is the time to sit down with your buddies, you know, grab a pizza late at night, you know, have the windows open so you can hear the wind howl and throw some of these puppies on. I swear to God, I was just talking earlier about AMC's Fear Fest. Remember we were talking all last week and the week before about it, all these TV stations? And, you know, back in the day, everybody has their own, oh, this reminds me that Halloween's coming, or, oh, I remember a kid, this used to happen. It would, you know, let us know Halloween was on the way. But for my generation or you know, people like the Ghost Man and me, we our telltale signs was they would show them on TV. The entire month of October was, you know, horror crazy. You know, you got to see all these. Of course, watered down and edited for content, but seriously, good stuff. We didn't care. I didn't care. I was 12 years old, and I was getting a kick out of the fact that they were even showing things on TV. I was like, yeah, wow. So good times. But, you know, so AMC comes out. You got, you know, ABC Family showing their Hocus Pocus and all their stuff. You know, and of course, we love Hocus Pocus. Techie Ed is a huge fan of Hocus Pocus. Bette Midler, send your autograph to Techie Ed. He's got a full-frame poster of you above the bed. Good times, good times. But, oh, my God, I'm just freaking out. Halloween's here, guys. I'm so excited. I'm so excited. These movies are crazy. Salem's Lot. My God, that to me is one of the best movies. David Soul. Freaking Hutch himself was in it. I mean, it was a TV movie, but seriously, it was awesome, based off of, you know, King's book. But that was, to me, one of the creepiest movies. I mean, just the shots that they had on that were just psychotic, seriously. Like, with the guy in the rocking chair and, you know, the kid up on, you know, tapping on the second floor, flying on the, you know, in the air, the dead friend tapping on the window, let me in. This is freaky stuff, guys. It's awesome. I mean, just the visuals, you know, the throwback to Nosferatu. Good times. I mean, look at all the crap. Like, I was talking about traditional horror, The Haunting, you know, the times when you couldn't see things, 13 Ghosts. Oh, my God. I'm spinning. I'm spinning right now. I am excited. I'm gonna stop the show. I'm going to stop the show now and go watch these movies because I am so freaking excited. You know, Eraserhead. I mean, this was a cult classic art film, guys. That's still disturbing to say. The vision, the things that they've shown on the screen are still hard to digest. That's amazing. That's awesome. Session 9, a newer film, a ghost film. I loved it. My God, tension. Talk about tension. I loved it. In the Mouth of Madness, Videodrome. Seriously, War of the Worlds, the original. Come on, do you remember Orson Welles broadcast that thing on radio? My God, it had the entire country in a panic. People were freaking out thinking it was really happening. That is awesome. That is a moment in entertainment history, guys. That is a moment that shows you that time. Wow, wow. I mean, of course, Hellraiser, The Changeling, stuff like that. Jaws. We talked about Jaws before. Awesome. The Shining. Of course, you got all these big ones. Yes. You know, it's amazing. And, of course, you got to say, Dawn of the Dead, the original Dawn of the Dead, George Romero, man. It was glorious. It had the glorious themes in it. It was banned in 17 countries. It was philosophical. It was psychological. This is how we like to digest our horror. This is what I want to chew on, people. I want a little morsel of philosophy in one corner, and I want in my cheek a little morsel of gore. I want a couple of flesh, a little eyeball. This is what I want in my horror. Bring it to me. We got Suspiria, Dario Argento. You had the Italian filmmakers. My God, that was one of the most amazing movies about witchcraft. Argento, I'm freaking out. I am freaking out. Argento, just, oh, my God. My favorite Italian horror director of all time, Lucio Fulci. I don't care. Zombie, to me, is one of the most quintessential horror films ever. Look at what they did. Look at these special effects. It was 7 and 8 layers of special effects just on the zombies. My God, people, that's awesome. That is filmmaking. That is passion. That's bringing that 70s drive back. You know, I mean, I don't care what you're watching, Emmanuel and the Cannibals, whatever. I mean, you know, this is great stuff. This is what we're talking about right here. You know, you had Creepshow, Beetlejuice, all these crazy things that came out. These are points. People remember these. I don't care what age group you are. Everybody, it's like music. Everybody has a song. Oh, my God, I heard that song. I was in this car with this guy. Oh, my God, my best buddy. Oh, my God, I was playing baseball. I heard that song. Same thing with movies. Everybody has a horror movie that they're like, yeah, that happened. That reminds me of that time. Oh, my God, that was cool. Everybody, all these movies are pinpoints in people's time. You know, John Carpenter's The Thing. I have raved about this on this show before, so I'm not going to get too much into it. But please, people. John Carpenter's The Thing. You had, you know, the isolation, the terror, the psychological meltdown, being put in this place. I mean, it was just a deterioration of your senses. You were blinded by just this onslaught of Botten's effects. It was amazing. One of the best remakes ever, ever. So good times. Oh, my God. Peter Jackson. Thank you, Peter Jackson, for starting your film career with horror. We have Dead Alive, also known as Brave Dead to some people, which is the bloodiest horror movie in history. It still holds the title. I have yet to see a movie. I've seen a lot of movies that had a lot of blood. But if I had to go ratio to ratio, it's still Dead Alive. It is the goriest horror film of all time. It had the most amount of blood and gore in its movie. Thank you, because that movie rocks. When he picks up the lawnmower and starts mowing down zombies, that's awesome. I like it. I want to lick it up off the floor. Give me more. Oh, my God. Or, like, we did Bad Taste. Bad Taste was an awesome zombie flick. It was an alien flick. They're throwing up in a bowl and drinking it. That's awesome. Come on now. Or just, I mean, when Peter Jackson falls on the rocks and it, like, hits his brain, it's like a chunk of his skull flies off. All he has is the flap of skin to hang over his skull, and you see his little brain there. Every time the flap of skin goes flying, he, like, twitches a little bit and falls down and starts jittering, and then he, like, ties a band-aid. Oh, my God, it's freaking funny. I love it. It's good times. The aliens. Oh, my God, guys. I'm having a meltdown. I'm having a meltdown. This is awesome. This is what we need for Halloween. Screw everybody that doesn't have passion. Screw everybody that's not in Halloween. If you're a horror fan, you are digging this convo right now. Poltergeist, Practical Magic. I threw that in there for the ladies because there's some ladies I know that are not horror fans but dig Practical Magic. Is Practical Magic a horror film? Not really, but it's witchcraft, so we're going to lump it in there. And I enjoyed it. My God, just insanity. The Blob, the remake of The Blob. Okay, the original Rock, the remake. You had Shawnee Smith as a cracked out cheerleader running around. My God, that's awesome. It was great. I loved it. It was the quintessential 80s stuff. It was all those 80s films. You know, I love watching those. Slumber Party Massacre. Just insane films. April Fool's Day. You had all these crazy movies. Slasher flicks abound, you know, but it was great. You know, they had things like The Hunger, lesbian vampires. Who can go wrong with lesbian vampires? Everybody loves a lesbian and a vampire. You had both in that movie. Have fun with it, people. Oh, my God. Techie-head's gone. He's going off this. The Amityville Horror. My God. Tim Yancey, we're going to have to get him on the show. He's the official authority on the Amityville Horror, the actual case. But, my God, the movie, Marco Kidder, James Brolin. My God, I'm freaking out, guys. It was awesome. And who cares if it was true to the real story? That was an amazingly shot horror film. It was creepy. Who cares when the priest is upstairs and the house tells him to get out? That's cool. We like that. Oh, my God. I'm going nuts here, guys. I'm absolutely going nuts. The gore, the suspense, Evil Dead 2 basically invented the horror comedy genre as we know it today, guys. I mean, I'm going nuts. Alien. Who could forget Alien? You had Ripley, for God's sake. You had chest bursters, face huggers. Oh, my God. Give me slime. Give me gore. Give me more. My God. I'm rhyming now. I'm so happy I'm rhyming. I hope I'm not hitting a Richter thing up here. We're not spiking out yet. I am a little bit, but good time. Oh, my God. And AMC, yeah, they show the same horror movies like 50 times a day. So you watch Pet Sematary like 1,000 times in one day, which, please, can we show some other stuff? But seriously, look at Pet Sematary. I mean, just this, it really wasn't anything. It was just kind of there. It didn't really fit a category. It was kind of like, okay, we're going to do another Stephen King movie. We'll do Pet Sematary, you know? So here they do this, but... And everybody says that scene with the sister, Rachel, you know, with her back is a freaky scene. Hell no. It's a little kid Gage under the bed with a scalpel. That's the scariest thing to me. I'm like, what? He's just going around cutting people's ankles? That's scary. It's like, you know, look at, brings you up, talking about little freakazoids, talking about Child's Play. Great stuff, Brad Dourif. Looking forward to the remake because it's more Brad Dourif. Good times. But, I mean, everybody has their list. Everybody has movies that they're like, oh, that's the quintessential horror film. Oh, that's the top. That's the cream of the cake. Oh, God. Oh, yeah. Oh, my God, guys. Seriously, there's so many horror films out there. History is full of horror films. History of horror in itself is so interesting. It's intricate. It's progressive. It shows the nature of our country and the world. I mean, you had the Spanish films. You had Nashi films. You had, oh, my God, I'm freaking out over here. Just all the exploitation films, the sexploitation films, cult classics. My God, there's so many genres, so many little subgenres of horror that are amazing. And I don't care. I will chew on them all. I love them all. I love them all. But, my God, guys, that was basically our horror movie roundup. Techie Ed, what'd you think? Was that exciting? Did you get excited?
I want to watch movies.
And Techie Ed never wants to watch movies, guys. So this is exciting. Did that really make you want to watch movies?
I might go home and watch them after this,
guys. Good times, guys. But like I said, I apologize. I didn't get to your movie. There's so many. And with a few minutes left that we have, we're going to come real quick because we're still celebrating Halloween. We did a whole show about traditions and customs. I just got you excited about Horror Movie Roundup. We got you all pumped up. We're good to go, good to get in Halloween, go to haunted houses. Techie Yet actually is something really interesting for you guys. Everybody that misses our little, you know, our little spirituality section, here is Techie Yet with a little segment. I don't know. We don't have a name for it. We'll call it, I don't know, Brewing with Yed.
That sounds good.
Brewing with Yed and not beer, although you could. He has, what do you have for us? You have like a ritual, right?
I have a couple of rituals that you can do for your Samhain ritual.
For Samhain, or as John Carpenter Halloween 2 said, Samhain. Salmon. Or salmon.
Salmon.
Now we're fishing on Halloween, guys.
Fishing for salmon.
Or it could be the hunger. I don't know.
All right, well, for all you pagan ritual goers for your Samhain tradition, I got a couple tidbits in addition to your whole preparation for your sacred space. What I would do is decorate your altar with, you know, some fallen leaves that are plenty at the time of year. Maybe some pumpkin, some little apples.
Could they be lesbian vampire fallen leaves?
If you want them to be. And then don't forget your orange, black, and of course white candles for your full protection deal. Now, this is the time when the spirit between the veil worlds are low. So any Ouija board work you want to do, pendulum, tarot, anything you want to do, this would be, Samhain is the best time to do it at.
So this would be the best time to play with the Necronomicon.
Yes, it would be.
All right, all you Ash fans, let's do it.
And of course, for all you aspiring ghost hunters out there, during this activity, maybe bring a recording device in with you so that you can maybe record people as you're playing Ouija board or using the pendulum.
Techie Ed, what do we call that?
EVP.
Oh my God, guys, EVP.
But be sure to cleanse your recording device, you know, as you would any other ritual tool, because it is a sacred space, of course.
So what would happen if you don't cleanse it? What's the purpose of cleansing the recording device?
Well, you might have, like, a little bad spirit thing floating around it. You know, it might be dirty from a lot of people touching it. You just want to make sure it's clean in your sacred space.
Like a good energy.
Yes, you want a good energy with it.
Cool.
Even though it's technology, but, you know.
We know how much you hate technology.
And then, of course, with Samhain being the new year, you know, maybe you can do a kind of like a New Year's resolution type bit where you take any bad habits, bad thoughts, anything that's wronged you, and you write it down on a piece of paper. Or someone told me this today, Bailey's work really well, too. But you write this down on a piece of paper, and you light it with one of your altar candles, and you put it in your cauldron. And you visualize whatever bad habit, bad thought, burning with it and leaving your body. And that's all I got.
That was awesome. My God. I mean, now we can do rituals on Samhain or Salmon or Samhain, whatever holiday it is that you celebrate. My God, that was awesome, Techie Ed. Now, you got all this information because, I mean, you've done this, right? You've practiced this.
Yes, of course I did.
Awesome. Awesome. See, guys, I mean, the GG Hour, we don't give you crap. This is experienced professionals over here. I'm an experienced drinker. Yes, an experienced salmon fishing person. So, I mean, this is experience. This is what you get, and this is what you're going to follow over on Wednesday nights, guys. But, oh, my God, we are coming to, like, what? We got, like, 4 minutes left on our show. I can't believe it. We have 4 minutes left in the last Sunday show.
I'm going to shed a tear.
I just know. Something comes to mind that we should do. This would kind of like culminate, but we'll do it in a second. But I have an idea. I just want to say thank you to everybody who's followed us on Sundays. But please come over to Wednesday night, 7 p.m. because it's going to be even more kick ass. Because we're teaming up with HorrorMovieFans.com, so we've got more advertising, more craziness. They're allowing us to do more stuff. They're actually like helping us do stuff, which our producers never do. So thank you so much to those guys, and we're going to have a great time. It's going to – basically, we're going from an hour to an hour and a half, guys. That's going to be nuts. That means more talking. That means more time to bring people on. That means more time for us to be insane and go salmon fishing. So, guys, we definitely want you to check that out because probably we'll review polls or something. I don't know. Anyway, bait, whatever. But good time. But seriously, thank you so much. I mean, we got Halloween coming up, guys. I mean, is everybody feeling it? Am I the only one feeling the energy? Are you feeling the energy? It's Friday. We have a week to Halloween. Carve some pumpkins. Go out, man. Get excited. Hit a couple haunted houses. Watch some of those movies I told you. Bring out some of your classics that you haven't seen in a while. Get people together. It's about getting together and celebrating this. Celebrate this holiday. Respect the ritual. Take it seriously. Have fun. Whatever it is you do. This is Halloween, guys. It only comes once a year. We celebrate in our hearts 365. But, guys, this is it. This is the real deal. And like Techie Ed said, the veil is thin on Halloween. So paranormal, spiritual, horror fans, everybody gets their kicks on Halloween. Good times. I can't wait. I'm excited. But I don't know. I'm thinking that we're going to have to end with our usual thing, our last big kickoff on Sunday. Our last time the Sunday audience is going to hear it until you come over on Wednesdays, then you'll hear it again. So really, it's not a big difference. We're acting like it's the end, but it's not. We're just moving to a different night. Whatever. And I'll give you all the information on Blog Talk, all the information on the MySpace, the website, all good stuff. Anyway, I think we should hum a few bars of this before we go into our closing thing. Thank you so much, guys, for tuning in tonight. Happy Halloween to everybody out there. Get excited. Get pumped. Celebrate the holiday. We love you. We'll see you on Wednesday night, November 5th, guys, the first show on Wednesday night. Check it out, 7 p.m. If you don't, I will beat you mercilessly, but you like it. I will see you later, guys. Happy Halloween!
Come on, baby, don't you wanna go? Chicago.